Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff with S. Darkholm, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin for all he does and those behind him that helps the site running and functioning well, giving us a place to share our poetry and read others. I also like to say thank you to Deb for running the group and the blog talk page so we can share live. I am your host, Sky, and tonight we will be talking about exactly what the title is, Really Random Stuff. I had 3 YouTube videos that people could check out and be inspired by, and we'll get to those a little bit later. I hope you liked our opening song. It was Joni Mitchell. And I just absolutely love that song. So I thought it was a good time to share it, it being close to Christmas and all. And a little bit about Joni Mitchell. She was born Roberta Joan Mitchell in November 7th, 1943. She's a Canadian singer, songwriter, and painter, drawing from folk, pop, rock, classical, and jazz. Mitchell's songs often reflect on social and philosophical ideals, as well as her feelings about romance, womanhood, disillusionment, and joy. She has received many accolades, including 9 Grammy Awards, an introduction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997. Rolling Stones called her one of the greatest songwriters ever, and AllMusic has stated, "When the dust settles, Joni Mitchell may stand as the most important and influential female recording artist in the late 20th century." And, of course, we opened with River. A little bit about that song. At the start of 1970, Joni Mitchell's relationship with her boyfriend, Graham Nash, was crumbling. On top of this, she was feeling increasingly uncomfortable with the publicity. Sorry about that. And the songs just needed to get away. So she took off a trip to Europe, metaphorically skating away on a river to escape the crazy scene. And just so this is taken care of, we will be closing out with Joni Mitchell again. And it'll be Dark as a Dungeon, which she covered. It was originally written by Marley Travis. It is a lament about the danger and drudgery of being a coal miner in a shaft mine. It has become a rallying song among miners seeking improved working conditions. Some of the other artists that have, one other artist that have covered it that have been quite popular is none other than Johnny Cash. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit of a fun learning session about the music that we'll be featuring here tonight. And without further ado, because I know we have some callers that are waiting, so let me let them on. Hello, Raconteur.
Hey, Holmes.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Good.
Joni Mitchell definitely picks up the spirit, picks up your spirits. That was a great choice.
I know. I love her. She's a poet. She's a poet, man.
Very much.
Glad you like, you approve. I stepped out of my 90s genre a little bit this time. I've been really on these shows. I've been really bringing back the 90s, but I couldn't help myself. I really wanted to bring in some Joni Mitchell, so I'm glad you liked it. We also have Stephen and or Kay, or Kay and or Stephen. What's it looking like?
What's it looking like? What it look
what
like?
It look like?
What it look like?
Are we doing like the Last Dragon?
Hey, my man. What you look like?
I just want to know who's there.
Just me.
I know
just
Steven's
me.
There because I see some interesting gifts on the board. So I know
smell.
You're there. Rats are smelling them, I see. See, this was the gift that I automatically thought of, or rather, not the gift, but this is the scene that I automatically thought when I picked out that prompt. But I was like, I can't put that on the topic board. So I'm glad you brought it.
You could have put that on the topic board.
I could have. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I mean, for you guys, listeners, you know, one of our random prompts today was learning a little bit about flatulence. So Stephen has been kind enough to give us Family Guy prompts, gifts. And if you're a Family Guy fan, you may know exactly what gift he is putting on the board. All right, guys. So what are we thinking? What are we doing? Anybody in a time crunch?
I'm kind of in a time crunch because I'm feeling very tired after a very long day, so I'm not sure how long I'll be able to keep the eyes open.
I've got two poems, so we're good. These people.
Just don't breathe in the knockout.
Yeah, it's going to be just fun hanging out and talking about the subject. So we're pretty cool. Now, did you watch the video, Stephen, or did you just kind of like leap?
No,
at
I did. I actually went off on my own, too, and read some stuff about it, too. And I was really surprised to learn some of the things that I did. And I think the one that really, really actually got me was the fact that they say that holding them in for too long can actually cause diverticulitis, which is something my father had. And it's not fun because you can't eat things with seeds in them because the seeds cause them to inflame and cause a great deal of pain. So if you have diverticulitis, you can't eat tomatoes, you can't eat pickles, and my God, I couldn't live without tomatoes and pickles.
Did you say your father had that? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he did. He had diverticulitis. Where he would cut the seeds out of the pickle so he could at least eat the rind. And he had when he went to Burger King, he had to ask for two bun bottoms so there were no sesame seeds on his burger.
Oh, wow.
So what else did you learn?
That's really the only thing that stuck in my head.
You did some stuff. Well, no, I like that. I like when people come and they explain, because that's a lot of stuff for me to reiterate myself. So I like the callers that tell me some stuff too. It does not sound fun. I definitely wouldn't want to. So the moral of this story is we need to change our social norms. And flatulence needs to be okay. All right, I'm just going to read a little bit about what?
Said especially in church and elevators.
In church, well, you know, elevators, I don't know. Church, there's a lot of people packed into one room. I'm not sure about that either. Like, I'm a firm believer. You go walk away and you do that somewhere else, and then you do we call it like the butt shake, and then you shake it off, and then you come back into the group.
He who farts in church sits in own pew.
Yes, very true.
Brack is, you're really funny. Okay. Let me just read this little bit before you go on. All right. So the prompt two was, and I have a little SpongeBob imagination picture up there. You know, this is what happens when I fart. And flatulence is defined as the medical literature as flatus expelled through the anus, or the quality of a state of being flatulent, which is defined in a term as marked by or affected with gases generated in the intestine or stomach, likely to cause digestive flatulence. The root of these words is from a Latin flatus, a blowing, a breaking wind. So that could be where, not that could be, that is where we get that term. Breaking wind. It's actually Latin. So flatus is also a medical word for gas generated in the stomach or bowels. Despite these standard definitions, a proportion of intestinal gas may be swallowed in environmental air, and hence flatus is not totally generated in the stomach or bowels. The scientific study is in this area of medicine is termed Photology. So there we go. And a little bit about the video, long end and a short end of it, is it could be very dangerous, as Stephen already kind of explained, to be right back. You can't be right back. You're reading next. as Stephen explained, could lead to diverticulitis. So, among other things, he'll be right back. All right, it's just me and you until he gets back. We scared him off.
He's preheating his nose
He went to preheat the duck oven.
Yeah, that was while the song was playing.
I see it now. Okay. Oh, I didn't ask you. What do you think about Joni Mitchell? Excellent choice.
Well, I like Joni Mitchell. I definitely like Joni Mitchell. Very talented.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. I am so ready to laugh.
You ready? I didn't write a funny one, though.
I'm ready.
This is very serious.
It's not
this
funny?
Very serious.
Oh.
No.
Despite the meme. Okay. All right, gift.
All right. This is called Lucky There's a Family Guy. Saved for Meg, since Bean Burrito Night. Aged through a day and rambling intestine flight. Now gathering bubbles knock upon rectal exit. Steak fires, friction via lip. Cooled grown hairs totter tip her face. Emit loud gas worse than pepper mace. Methane bitters dance upon taste buds. Sulfuric egg smell does bring up cud. Moist sweat of cheeks now burns in eyes. Remnants trickle down upper thighs. Lips now chapped with burning heat. Thick glasses fog humid nasty streaks. Trumpet song sung from the inflamed hole. Cheekbones scratched by left buttocks mole. Giggle prance tiptoed out of the room. Drought of oxygen does make her swoon. And pump.
This made me cringe. Oh, in the best kind of way. Oh, I'm telling you, bean burritos are brutal. You're not lying. Talk about bean burritos. Goodness. I'm just thinking, Taco Bell trips, bean burritos. Oh, my goodness. Anyone, really. Oh, I thought this was really gruesome. It was wonderfully gruesome. The gurgling bubbles. Oh, my goodness. That just reminds you of, like, little tiny ones waiting for the massive unload to come. And then, of course... oh my goodness, the eggs, there's nothing worse than someone who has, that is like a distinctive smell. My mother's husband, my birth mother's husband, he wouldn't even let us boil eggs in the house when he was home because he just hated the smell. And it's true, like when it comes out the other way, it smells the same, but rotten. Like, it's just terrible. Oh, my goodness. So you've got that. And then one of the most gruesome parts in this, Stephen, was when the eyes are burning and some of that's trickling down the legs. And then you're like, the wet butt cheeks. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting a lot of visuals with this, and, it's making me cringe. Oh, my goodness. And then, of course, the giggle prance. So I have to say, and I don't know if this is going to make my friends seem like terrible people or not, but I do have to say that I think I've said this, my godchildren's house, their dad, both the boy's dad is very, very big on Family Guy. And my goddaughter's dad is big on anything, like, remotely terrible, like, just, like, terrible to do to somebody. Like, he's very much, like, an instigator, a troublemaker. He just likes to, like, hide things. He's very, he's never, like, really bad, but he's just an instigator. He's a Slytherin. I don't know how else to describe it. But his father, but the Burns father is very big on Family Guy. So, long story short, you know, my godson's father has done this many of times to his boys, and it's quite terrible. But not with the whole face plant, just like a little, just in the vicinity with the squat, you know. And I'm just like, why do you do that? And then one of the boys tried that with me, and I was like, you never do that again to Auntie ever. Do not do what your dad does to me. That is off limits. And they never did. Because when they were little, when he squatted, you know, when they were like 6, 7, 8 and thought this was hilarious, when he squatted, he was about their height, so it was perfect. Anyway, Rack, what do you think? Not about my story, about Steven Stone.
Yes, I kind of understood where you were going with that. I love the reference to the pepper spray, because that's really, you know, the chemical reaction is exactly what you're talking about, only, you know, it's a different form of gas. I mean, so many memories of growing up and so many fun things come to mind when I hear this. You know, all the different euphemisms. It took me from left field when someone called it a trouser cough. I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then you mentioned you know, the moisture down the leg. I'm like, okay, now you're crossing over from fart to shart, which is a totally different show. But, you know, it's definitely relevant because it happens, you know. It's like a byproduct, and sometimes there's those unfortunate leakages. And especially when you start to get older, you lose control of that seal. It doesn't work as well, so, you know. There's that. I mean, you've got all kinds of different thoughts coming into mind, but, you know, most of all, you know, all the different euphemisms for you know, breaking wind and things like that, that the different names that people have for farting just came flooding into my senses when you read it. I thought it was great.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Scott.
Do you have
my favorite thing about this poem is?
Wait, he got, I just want to say, he got a whiff of euphemisms. All right, go ahead.
My favorite thing about this poem is I wrote it a month ago. It's been looked at 53 times.
What a coincidence.
There's one comment.
Believe it or not, I actually scrolled down before you started reading to see if I can see what people said, just looking at the kids alone. And I seen that Kay only commented, and then I was like, well, it says a month ago, maybe he put it on a back right, but then I'm thinking, no, because that's when I released my old ones. I'm going to leave you a nice comment, so don't worry.
It was a stale start.
But someone wasn't here when you read, but I'm maybe they had read it and you could get a comment on there. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
How are you?
Did you bring a close pin?
Oh my gosh.
Deb's meme. Or gift or whatever. Did you get to read and or... I'm sorry?
I didn't hear what Rack just said.
Oh, I asked you if you brought a clothespin. I asked her if she brought a clothespin.
No, I forgot. I did bring a Stephen Spalding corker, though. Just not a zombie.
Yes.
Yeah, we need some air freshener here. Did you get to read Stephen's poem or do anything? I'm not sure. If you wanted to make a comment, if you got to catch it. Deb?
I'm sorry, say that again. I dropped the damn phone. I couldn't pick it up. But
okay. Did you read Stephen's poem? Did you want to make a comment? I know that you came on after. I didn't know if you wanted to make a comment, if you read it or...
I didn't, and I was being a brat looking for... I just clicked on
okay.
it, and I'm cracking up over the word of dad. At least mine only made us pull his finger. but yeah, no, I'm actually looking at it now, and I like how it starts right off with "Save for Meg since Bean Burrito Night." Like, oh no, and sulfuric egg smell does bring up God. Moist sweat on cheek now burns in eyes. Remnants trickle down upper thigh. I'm like, ew. Okay, the trumpet song sung from the inflamed hole. Steven, your insanity is showing tonight, and I like it.
Thanks, Steven.
Oh, my goodness. You know, my uncle Mike, he's like my favorite uncle, and he was around a lot when I was young, because he's really close to my mom, and we lived close to him, whereas my aunt lived a couple states away, and she used to always say, pull my finger, and in fact, I love, like, it's such a fond memory that when he and my goddaughter and I, we got together, when actually it was only about a year ago, and, you know, I was like, listen, besides Uncle Chris, because she calls my brother Uncle, so I'm like, besides Uncle Chris, this is my favorite person in the whole world. You're going to love him. Ask to go pull his finger. That was the first thing I said. She said, he just makes the sound. He doesn't actually fart. He just makes the sound, but it's just always endearing. But, Stephen, would you like to tell me, thank you, first of all, for bringing that home. It really, it's, I'm crying over here about being burrito.
You blew us away.
And it's like, yeah, you blew us away. And would you like to tell us what's going on over at Poetic Spice? Like, tell us all of it. Mm-hmm. Tell us all the good stuff.
Okay. So our next show is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern with the Poetic Inklings. And it is a Christmas-themed party. Those are the prompts. Kay found a bunch of different types of Christmas parties that you could write about, from trimming the tree parties to a Scrooge party to cookie exchange, ugly sweaters. Check out the pictures. Pretty cool. See where they take your pen. Thursday night at 9 p.m. is our Christmas edition of Movement of Sound. We'll be listening to classic Christmas songs, learning about those songs, and reading poetry inspired by those songs. And then Friday night is the Christmas edition of Name That Film. So everything will be Christmas related. It won't just be films this time, too. We'll bring clips of Christmas specials, too, like old Rankin Bass type stuff, too. It's going to be fun. That's what I got.
I like Breaking
Wind. I love those Name That Film, name that Film Scorist. And now Name That Show. I love those. Just hanging out with friends. Absolutely brilliant way to spend a Friday night.
Indeed.
I'm actually going to go one further, and I'm going to go on Saturday night on Poetic Slice. I am on again, and it is Storyboard Special Edition, Volume 11. We've been doing a lot of these parallel universes. This, as always, in my special editions, everyone gets their own prompt. You don't double up. And, of course, they are twists. So this one is who would make the best Santa. So I've got some superheroes. I've got some family guy. I've got, like, Mario, Sonic. I got Star Wars. I've got so many people up there that you could take. I've got the Joker, of course, JCA. Pretty much nabs that as soon as it goes up. he sees a Joker. He's like right in there. But you could write a poem any way you want. Be as creative as you want. All I ask is you pay some sort of tribute to the original character, even if it's through metaphor, even if it's not specifically saying their name. You're just using characteristic traits or lines, puns, personality traits, anything you want. Just be original. But providing a little bit of tribute to the main character. They're all dressed up like Santa. I'm pretty excited to see where you guys go because, I mean, Kay has Venom. Steven already has Peter Griffin. And, yeah. And Miss Deb, I believe. I believe Miss Deb has Sonic the Hedgehog. So I'm so excited. And there's still lots of prompts to claim. So go over there and do that and hang out with me at 8 p.m. Saturday night. All right.
So
and then
far,
without further ado, we do have another. Stephen, I just in case you go in the mayhem, thank you for bringing that. I appreciate you calling. You're welcome to stay as long as you will. But I know that you had to read and run a little bit. But we do get another caller. Hello. I believe this is Hatter.
Hello. Unmuted.
How are you? Unmuted.
Hatter.
How are you?
I made it.
Your arch nemesis just wrote a pretty good poem. You should check it out and leave him a comment. This poor guy has had it up for a month. He's got one comment. No one knows quite what to say. They're like, this is a fun poem.
Oh,
I bet you, though, despite the lack of comments, I bet you every single person who read it laughed. Why is there a naked Peter Griffin on the board? What is happening right now? This is not okay. All right, guys. So, Hatter, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I didn't bring any gifts, right, though. I just decided to bring in and say hi.
Okay, well, maybe while we're talking about the subject, maybe you'll find that you have a pre-write that's semi-related, because I'm pretty,
there you go.
Despite it being a home study program, because it's fiction or reality or basically anything that's inspired by, while we're in conversation, if any of the conversation inspires something, drop a poem, because if you call, I want you to read something, all right, Hatter? Same with you, Rack. So even if it's on the topic of what we're talking about, drop it. That's the fun of having really random stuff, okay? So, all right.
Sounds good.
Without further ado, I do have a poem from Deb.
Hatter's putting the milk and cookies.
Did. Oh, my gosh. Both of you. Did both of you go to the flatulence? I should have known this one would take the cake. There's three prompts, Hatter. There's to give you a little review. Yeah, I know. But the one was the Lost City of Angkor Wat. But you know what, though? If they're not used tonight, I'm going to put them in my back pocket and do a leftover Sunday on a Tuesday contest. I'm not concept show, so yeah. So the prompt one was a Lost City of Angkor Wat, and then prompt three was plankton in the ocean and about oxygen. And if you have a poem about oxygen, Hatter, even if it's like not getting enough of it, that's fine too. So yeah, those are the prompts, and then of course this one that took the cake, I believe. But Deb, you may. Now, if you happen to watch any of the other videos and you want to say anything about any of the three, we already pretty much covered the topics, but you can, the topic on this prompt. But if you found anything interesting or you learned anything, I would be happy to hear about it. Is that a...
No. In all honesty, I thought the other two topics were fascinating, and I have partial poem on the, what was it, photo, wait, let me remember that word. I'm going to, because it's going to drive me nuts if I don't, it'll bug me all night long. The phytoplankton, duh. Anyway, I was totally fascinated because, I mean, I'm intelligent enough to realize that there was oxygen going on, but for some reason, whatever I think of Save the World, it's always trees. And you know, so now when I'm realizing that, or remembering, or, you know, that light bulb moment, or a smack, I could have had a V8 moment, that the ocean's trying to give us all this oxygen, too, and between the two of them, there, it's like we need one as much as we need the other, and the information and stuff that you have here is fascinating. My point being, because somehow you and I knew that this is going to turn into a fart fest, and because it's making me think of my dad, and I've been in a really good mood all day, and I'm sure he's up there laughing at me for saying that. So I'm thinking that those topics that are on the board besides farts should really come out another time so that we can sink our teeth into those. Because, like, it's looking like it's going to be a fartful night. I don't know. I know AP's working on one, and I don't know what. Okay. He's trying your first one. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah. I'm still giggling from Stevens, and then I put a cartoon in his.
Let him read it over.
And now I'm cracking up. You got to read his poem, Hatter. It was really awesome.
All right, you are on the board, Deb.
Okay, okay, okay. Where is? There it is. Okay. She's running across the floor like a dog. Okay. And here's my poem. And I used this picture before. And for some reason, I had to go find the poem with this on there because I want. It was about mooning. So we're taking his tushy a little further in this one. And it's called, Do They Call It Art? If Statues Fart? Here we go. In rapid sliding glass door vibrations, the rattling sound breaks sleep. So feet tiptoed out to the kitchen with a flashlight and a club to peep. Two eyes spot a silhouette squatting outside on the wooden stoop. Then, in a reverberation flurry, 9 potted poinsettia plants droop. I flick on the porch light for the scoop, spying the garden gnome bending, showing his butt. He grunts farting, but drops no poop. My foot just dropped, kept him through the basketball hoop. And poop.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that would be art. I mean, I get, you know what? Art is in the eye of the beholder. Isn't that what they always say? You know, a dot on a paper could be art. I love that you. So let me, before I, let me make some comments and then I'll ask you my question. I thought this was brilliant and, you know, funny. The tiptoed out of the kitchen with the flashlight and a clump to peep. This was like very specific, and then squatting. It just reminds me of those, you know, like when you see those little garden gnomes that come to life, and, you know, and it's all like a thing. This is what they might be doing outside instead of leaving little presents. So if you don't have dogs that are outside and you're wondering what's happening, this might be why. I'm just saying, you have solved a mystery, I think. This is very, very funny. And
there
very
you go.
Very clever. And I like that you went and searched for it and went for the garden gnome, because I actually really do like garden gnomes. And they have so many different ways that they, like, some say they're evil, troublesome, cute, like there's so many things. There's like this movie called Gnome Alone that my goddaughter absolutely loves. Have you seen it, anyone? It's really weird. Yeah, very, very, very well done and very clever. Let me get you some comments. And I don't know how long I have Stephen for, so I'm actually going to get him first. Stephen, what do you think?
I'm going to take off after I comment on this because I really need to get a shower and get some sleep. But yes, I enjoyed this, and as soon as I clicked on the poem and I saw that picture, I started to laugh, so I had to mute. I tell you, my family, that garden gnomes are supposed to protect the nature of the garden, not kill it with noxious gnome nymphs that almost shatter patio door glass. He totally deserved the kick in the hoop.
Awesome comment. Thank you.
There are so many great puns coming out of this show. Stephen, thank you so much. I hope you have a good night. And speaking of good puns, Rack, what do you think?
I'm trying to think of something cheeky to say, but, you know, I'm kind of sorry, I can't help myself sometimes. It's a windy subject, I guess, when you get on your soapbox, and it's a cool right, gets you going, and you can't help but give one laugh.
Thank you, Rebecca.
What I really like too about it is that she even said at the beginning, I've been feeling really good, and this poem just kind of come out, and it's nice when you could use those feel good poems that not only make you feel good when you're writing it and you're just laughing and you let things go and you're like, the fart and poetry go together? Now they do, and you know you allow yourself to have that freedom, and then everybody else gets to enjoy it too, because you could see just everybody talking about it. And you can hear the smile on their face, like it's, you know, just really enjoying letting it go. No pun intended. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I wasn't able to follow, but yeah, it was the glass. If they make the. Oh, I wish I had it with me. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, Hatter, you can read it later.
I got it. Okay.
Just
look at the gnome bending over for there you go. I dropped it again for you. All right, so here's the question I wanted to ask you. Why does farting make you think of your dad?
Because I don't know if there's anyone on the planet that my father knows that starting from childhood, he didn't get them to pull his finger as often as possible. During family trivia games, it was if you could outlast the air to make it through the whole game, you might beat him. But that didn't happen too often either. So got a good way
so
for
he actually, it wasn't just a sound. He went all out with the pull my finger. He always had one locked and loaded.
Yes, he tooted my whole life.
That was my brother growing up.
I'm glad I'm bringing family memories together.
Right? You never know what you might inspire, Sky, just saying.
Every family's got one.
Oh, my goodness.
I was at the casino with him one time, and it was just him and I in the elevator. He waited till the floor was just about there, and just as it dinged, so did he. And we watched the faces of the people that got in next as the door shut. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's terrible. That's not cool. We were just talking about that. No. That's not how you do it. Take that outside. That's terrible. What a way to get out pent-up aggression, you know?
I gotta tell you, Deb, because you know my brother was the one that was known for that, and we were at my aunt's one night. I guess you know the family was out or whatever, and she was watching us. And he had a habit. He would always say, "Excuse me," and we always knew that meant you know what was to follow was the order. So it was just the three of us, and he said, "Excuse me," and I said, "Oh my God!" And my aunt started to yell at me. And in the middle of the tirade, she looked at him. She goes, "Jesus Christ, what did you do? Shoot yourself next time go in the bathroom."
That's what you need to do.
People ask my dad that question a lot. If I had a dollar for every time somebody asked him that question, I'd be a very wealthy woman.
You should just blame it on a dog. That's what people do, right? You don't have a dog.
Dino, quite often, named after Dean Martin, of course. But, yeah, my old buddy Dino did it. Make sure, Dad. Did you pull his finger?
And, Jeb, if you happen to – yeah, I know you said you started working on something. If you happen to finish your poem before we end, you're more than welcome to bring this a second one as well.
At the same time. I'm not a writer while I play. It don't work out that way for me.
Yeah, I did that once, and it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. All right, so tell us what's going on for the rest of the week, if you will, at Team of Voices.
Sure. Tomorrow night is Crystal Hope's monthly show, and she has a dozen awesome photo prompts that she wants you to combine with a dozen word bank words from her 30 words of choices, at least those dozen. And again, that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Thursday night at 10 p.m., it's Open Poetry with Sweet Pea. And Friday's Tic Mac Poet 11. And that's the next few days.
Do we know who the contestants are?
I don't line them up till the day before because people cancel on me too often. So now I wait until
I wasn't too sad about that, although I knew a lot of the answers and it was hard.
Well, I had one.
I wasn't too
changed
sad in
that circumstance, so now I'm back to Eden too. Why, you want to play Rock
two.
And Tour? All you have to do is listen and to make a guess. Come play with us on Friday night.
What time is it? 11?
Yes. And it only takes about an hour, give or take.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not
too bad. I'll bug people on Thursday. Be expecting me in your inboxes.
just be like Rack and Sky. I knew the ones that he was putting out by other people too, but I thought that
was
pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you guys were the only that he's ever had, so that was like you made his millennium by giving him his first tie. So, like, you're in perpetual tie mode until somebody kicks
your
booty.
I still am a big Poe fan, but I was like a really avid reader of Poe in my mid-20s. I got the complete works of Poe. It's like this book is like 3 inches thick, and I would just read it all the time. And I remember I got it at Barnes & Noble down the street, and it was actually my early 20s, not my mid-20s, but I probably was the only person who was like 20, 21, 22. I spent my spare time at the Barnes & Noble coffee shop down the street. You know, I wasn't out.
Uh-oh.
Partying,
well, don't give away
so.
Your secrets. Nobody will ever want to play with you, Sky.
I know. But I knew he did a poem by Robert Frost, and I was able to put that right away. Good. I was a really boring teenager. When I was in high school, I used to skip lunch because I was very antisocial, and I would read in the library. And I was reading, like Walt Whitman. Like I would just read anthologies of poetry and works like that, and I was quite boring, I guess. Now I'm boring you all with my boring teenage year stories.
Not at all.
Oh, but speaking of the devil, we were just talking about you. Hi, AP.
Who are you?
Why? Yes,
what were you saying?
Well,
kind of. No.
Oh, we were talking about how when you did your last show, and I not your last show, when I did the Tic Mac Poe, that I was guessing the ones that were even by other people, but it was really hard for me to not shout it out. And I started messaging Deb in the middle of it, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I can't do that because she's a lifeline. But I'm like, I know this one. I love Robert Frost. Like, I guessed it right away. So I'm like, I know.
No,
I
was
too.
Also
I
telling her how delighted it was that she was the first ever tie and that she'll stay in a perpetual tie if she doesn't play again and beat someone.
Yes.
Perpetual tie.
No,
be honest.
So how are you doing?
I'm good. No, I'm good. I have got a task to actually do some ticking and macking and poeing in the next couple of days. So I will get round to that. I've just got a most of the day meeting tomorrow of the board for the last one for the year. So I'm just getting myself organized for that.
Well, that sounds awesome. Do you have a poem for me?
I do, and I'm probably going to take it backwards, which is not necessarily good. But I'm a student of history, as you know, Sky. So I'm on Angkor Wat. You've probably already been there and gone past it. But can I take you back?
Everyone's
writing about forests.
Yeah, everybody couldn't get past that. Well, everybody's only two people, but how I do things here is that whatever poems I drop, I talk about that first. So you'll actually be the first one to talk about, and I'm really excited. And just so that you know, for this show, I like you to take the mic and talk about and teach us what you learned or what you already knew. Before your poem or after your poem, whatever. So got it. Take me away.
Okay. Well, look, I did want to talk about Angkor Wat a little bit first before I sort of started, because it is a brilliant set of archaeological delights, really. I mean, it's just an amazing set of carving and out of stone, and it was constructed in thick forests on the border of Cambodia and Thailand, somewhere between the 9th to the 15th century. And so for years, you know, hundreds of years, people have gone and sought out these ruins and active villages that are in the middle of these stone buildings. And they're home to literally hundreds and thousands of Buddhist monks, and the temples there are attended to by monks. And so tourists have gone to this place and thought it out for a long time. Anyway, so that's a little bit of background, and I need to put some pictures in of the actual.
What I found really interesting about it, AP, was that the fact that of that time, the water system was what made it so progressive, but after the drought, that actually became its demise, really. So
forward-looking things about the city, and it was a city, and the construction of the stone waterways was one of the real features, because of course it's in a jungle. There's lots of water around, but it's one thing to have water, it's another to actually use it properly and to be able to guide it to do things that you need it to do. And that's what the people who constructed this city were brilliant at.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you. And whenever you're ready,
So now I'm sort of moving forward a little bit, and I'm going to 1970, because what actually happened was that Angkor Wat became the front line in the Vietnam War for a couple of years. And it's been very easy for both sides to actually go and fight in these ruins and create great damage to them. And that didn't happen. And so both sides showed enormous restraint, having this UNESCO-certified city in the middle of a battle, and effectively, you know, it stayed whole and complete through 2 years of battling between people, which I thought was quite remarkable. So this is called On the Front Line, and it goes a little bit like this.
Ruins of style and religious importance in the forests of Cambodia and Thailand. Been there for centuries to entrance, and tourists are visited by the band. Angkor Wat lies in deep jungle, always been a foreign interest to see, but in what can be considered a bungle, hundreds there when fighting in 1970. There were no records of injuries, and in 2 years of being on the front line, restraint and armaments used for victories is only minimal damage on this place sublime. End poem.
Excellent, excellent, Minson. Just going to unmute everybody. I'd put everybody on mute while you were reading. I think this is brilliant. And I, you know, looking, I did some, there were other, there were a few in ruins in this area that I was looking at to do because there are so many temples. And I just really...
Yes.
Loved this one. Yeah, this one kind of I gravitated towards because pretty much
yes.
the forest took back. It's they started the trees started growing
yes.
in, and you know the
yes.
and the way they're trying to restore it is just it's beautiful. But there were so many I've watched a few different documentaries about a few different places in this area, and I settled ultimately on this one. And so I love the background that you gave me to it, and your little bit of history on it. This poem, I love that you brought in Vietnam, and it's so weird how sometimes things there's like connections that sometimes happen that are. You know, you may not think of something or somebody just brings up things multiple times in a very short period of time. I don't know if you ever have that happen, but, you know, I've been speaking to my uncle a lot and because he's going through a little bit, and he's a Vietnam veteran, and he always does the rides, the motorcycle rides, but he can't do it this year.
Yes.
So Vietnam was on my mind. Plus, I was watching something, and now you bring this poem. It's just it's weird how the universe kind of works that way. But I love that you bring in this. You talk about the Cambodian and Thailand forest, and you teach us, you know, about yes, there is a tour. It's a place of tourism, but it really could have been used in the war and right here, you know, hundreds of their, you know, there when we're fighting in the 1970. And when you think of something and the terms of war, when we can go over there, we can visit things, we can see these things. And only, you know, not that long ago, what, 50 years ago, it was an entirely different place when we were at war. And it's just so, it's for me anyway, I don't know if it's for anybody else, but when you... I couldn't imagine being in a place like that, looking around and then just seeing. I mean, I guess we could do that here, too, in any place, thinking about where we live and what it was like during those times. So I love that you brought that in there and you paid a little bit of homage to that and a little bit of remembrance, because I think sometimes people let that slip and under the radar, like that this different times were in different places where something meant something completely different to people, especially in times of war. So, and again, I can't thank you enough for the knowledge that you brought in the beginning. Brilliant piece. Thank you.
No, thank you, Sky. Thanks for the chance to have a look at it. I remembered it a little bit. There's something for me, and it's a sense of people respecting something bigger than what they're there for.
Yeah.
The fact that you know that both sides decided not to get out the mortars and machine guns and howitzers and blow things away because they respected what was there is something to me that talks to, you know, people being there for a bigger purpose and a bigger picture and you know, you disrespect to everybody involved but just being restrained, I guess, for want of a better word.
And especially when you have two people on opposing sides but both agreeing on the fact that they don't want to disturb this piece of history. I mean, that's pretty
correct.
Amazing in and of itself, is it not? Like that to me
yeah.
is speaks volumes in and of itself. That people even through war can kind of agree and kind of preserve things, you know, that preserve things like this. And it's amazing. It actually might give people a little hope that maybe that agreeing can go further, you know. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, that was exactly what struck me the most. my mind, I hear the word ruin. Obviously, you could have a modern ruin, but usually it evokes thoughts of, you know, days past. So to tie it together to something as recent as the 70s, even though it's not that recent anymore, but, you know, something, you know, like that really puts it into perspective. And exactly what you said about, you know, I want to say that the reverence for the surroundings and everything, it's very humbling to think that, you know, because, you know, people make business decisions all the time that aren't necessarily the best for everyone involved. It's, you know, it's about business. It's about, you know, grinding and money and objectives. But to make a decision that, you know, on both sides that says, you know, well, we're not going to destroy this place like we could, you know, we're going to have a little respect for it, is really very humbling, and it offers a ray of hope that kind of belies the cynicism of a lot of people these days because of, you know, the way the world is. It's easy to see all over the place, you know, the lack of concern, the big business and the money. I mean, I've literally heard doctors say, why find a cure for cancer? There's no money in it. So, you know, to have people in the middle of something like a forest say, well, you know, we don't want to destroy it, you know, we want to show a little restraint, you know, we're still going to campaign and fight this war, but, you know, we're going to try and do it in a non-invasive way and just, you know, focus on different things. So yeah, that was really a great thought and very hopeful. I enjoyed it very much, AP.
No, thanks, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have lots of notes on this, and I had a documentary, but I didn't say that in the documentary either, so you brought something too new, so I appreciate that for me. Deb, what do you think?
Well, I think that you put a whole lot of stuff in just three stanzas, AP, but what's stuck out for me is that closing stanza. There's something about the fact that with no record injuries and in 2 years, just, you know, minimal damage, sort of adds to the credence of the sacredness of the spot, which wouldn't have something like that not get destroyed here. It seems like we go after the most important stuff and try to tear it apart. And that last stanza shows me that they, even in war, there was enough respect to that hundreds of year old place to not mess with it, not be gung-ho and hell-bent on tearing it down, which is really saying something. So you packed a lot in there.
Mm. Thanks, Steve.
Excellent comment. And Hatter?
You're going to have to pass me. I had to walk away.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, AP, for calling in and teaching us a little bit about something. And your shows were plugged, but you're welcome to say anything in your own voice if you want to about Friday. If you are Hatter, Saturday.
You're welcome to say it in SpongeBob's voice, too.
Well, yeah. Well, look, we've got Tick MacPoe. I've got to get myself organized. That's my day before type and later this afternoon attempt at writing some poems and coming up with stuff that's hopefully going to be useful and maybe fool the odd person as we go through in terms of who may have written it. So that's coming up very shortly on Friday, and then Saturday, we are on the normal everyday Hatter, Deb, and I show. And, of course, it's my turn to pick a prompt for this week, and you'll be you'll know that it's quirky because that's what I do. And, of course, we are on the letter Q. Anything to do with the letter Q? Could be the letter Q. It could be the... Well, construction of the letter Q, it could be a word of the letter Q, it could be quince you know, you get the general idea. Just as long as it's got something
to
do with
it. It could be a quibble.
It could be a quibble, correct. Correct. It could be a quokka. You know, you can go lateral if you wish. You know, far be it from me to go and restrict your use of the letter Q, but that is the theme for this coming episode. So, Tic Mac Toe followed by the letter Q. It's going to be a big couple of days on the radio.
Thank you, AP, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate that.
Pleasure. Okay, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Night, AP.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a Q poem.
This is going to make me crazy. Wasn't there a famous boat with the letter Q? The QE2, QE2 or something, the Q.
I don't know.
Oh. Damn it. I think I'm thinking of the QE2.
For what?
Huh.
QE2.
Well,
for the letter Q?
I think it's a boat. For the letter Q, yeah. It's the letter Q comes to mind. It was, you know, it's right there in the name of the thing. I think it's the QE2. I think it's a boat, one of the largest. Anyway.
You'd be really creative and say, quality is the value to some person. You know, and you can talk about how you value the quality of someone. That's getting like really spinning the topic quite creatively to fit in something that you have more general. Getting tricky. All right, so I do want to say a little bit about what I have from my notes for Angkor Wat. And while I'm doing that, the oxygen one is a very broad topic. So as I'm going through and reading, I want Hatter and Rack to find me a poem about breathing or oxygen. I'm sure you've got something along those lines.
You just read it the other night.
You only have one poem about breathing, about oxygen? It doesn't have to be about it. You don't have to mention it. Go find me something. Just go find me something. That's your mission right now. So a little bit of Angkor Wat.
Hop to it.
And what?
I said hop to it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm demanding. Angkor Wat. So I'm going to just say a little bit about my notes here. It's in Cambodia's northern province of Siem Reap, and it is one of the most important archaeological sites of Southeast Asia. It extends over approximately 400 square kilometers and consists of scores of temples. And obviously we talked about dikes, reservoirs, and canals, which is the water system that I kind of touched on, as well as communication routes. For several centuries, Angkor was the center of Khmer Kingdom, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but we're going to go with that, with impressive monuments, several different ancient urban plans, and a large water reserves. And like I was saying a little bit earlier, I kind of touched on it. It was these water canals that really made this city flourish. It was very progressive. It was kind of unseen before. It was quite brilliant. There's lots of temples, and the architecture and layout made it successful to a high level of social order and ranking within the empire until obviously its drought and all the water kind of the water system failed because it didn't have water. So it was like the thing that made it so great actually ended up being its ruin and it was abandoned. And now if you watch the video that I have up there, if you're interested, what people are doing now is they're restoring it. There's a group over there that's trying to restore it. And so that's a little bit about it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful documentary and a beautiful place. And there's lots of temples there too. It's probably, besides the raccoon one, it's probably the longest video I have. It is 22 minutes, but, I mean, you could really watch anyone you want, but, yeah, it's a little bit about it. And you guys found me a breathing pen?
Are you kidding?
It's all right. You can just talk to me. You can just talk to me. It's all right. We're going to talk about, I don't know. Deb, what do you think? Should we talk about it? We could probably just talk about it.
I can tell you
want to close out.
I can tell you a fart joke.
Hold on. Wait. Deb. Deb.
Yes?
Deb.
Sky.
Do you want to talk about it, or do you want to just do two free writes and close out early, or what would you like to do?
Well, my beautiful friend, this is your show, and we can do a little bit of both. But you're the boss. You're
all
in charge.
Right.
So unless
all
you
right.
try to go
so
political or try to go some kind of unpolitically friendly place, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not the boss of you.
I never go political. I never, ever go political. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to save that because I actually really love that prompt, obviously, because it's about the ocean. So I'm going to save that prompt, and I'm going to ask Catter and Rack, you can do any poem you want. You can drop if you want to share. You don't have to, but if you do, drop said poem, you know, right in the group. Catter, you have something?
I can beg the question, though, do unicorns spark rainbows? Check the chat wall for the answer.
Absolutely, absolutely. They absolutely do. All right, so Hatter and Rat, you're quite quiet. So I'm going to drop a random poem, and I'm going to go from there. If you don't have a poem by then, we're going to listen to some Joni Mitchell. Did you hear the opening? Deb, I stepped out of my 90s, and we went Joni Mitchell.
No, I was calling Hatter and getting him up to date with what's going on so that he could call and say hi to Sky, too. So I missed him again.
It's okay. Well, I don't know if this is cheating or not, but here's a poem for you, Deb. It is... I called A Pizzicato of Poetry and Vivaldi Winters by Sky.com. And you don't have to comment if you don't want to live. I know it's in your contest. But there are ravens kept in jars, tiny feathered narratives, restless to dance, camouflaged sores of black ink, bottled banquets yearning to crumble, to flake like pepper rain on a Vivaldi's winter paper welkin. It is within these unkindness, within this unkindness, this unbound movement that poetry is birthed, Phygian echoes that leap on air frost and grain clouds, each covine plucking sky strings like a pizzicato of high notes scribbling to the universe with violin. End poem. And unkindness is a group of ravens, not like an unkindness per se. And I happen to be listening to Vivaldi's Winter, which is from his Vivaldi's Four Seasons movement, which is really brilliant movement. But I put it down there in the author's notes. You could have a listen. It's quite brilliant. End poem.
Beautiful.
I'm going to save my comment for the contest, but I was just wondering what you thought, Raconteur.
I thought it was beautiful, like everything that she writes. She's got me trying to find her a poem, so I only was able to pay a little bit of attention, but, you know, she's always got ups and lines that kind of draw you in and really evoke a mood. And, you know, kind of, and she makes you kind of want to get to know.
Awesome comment.
I make you want to
Hatter,
that piece of music.
Wait, comment for Sky.
Hatter, unmute.
Unmuted.
I'm just thinking, did you send him to his vault to find a poem? That's probably where he disappeared to.
Who, me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I threw a dart. And this is what it stuck on. So I'm not responsible to it. Let me get to the group. Oh, so loaded down. Come on. It's crawling. I can see it actually crawling across the floor here.
Well, while it's crawling, Rack, do you have any shows that you want to plug? I know you've got one here coming up, and then you've got one at LCN, I think.
I haven't come up with a topic book for either one. I'm dealing with other things right now in my head, and it's been rough. But yeah, I don't know what either one is going to be about yet. I may have to go with the open poetry. And I'm still drawing a blank on what you asked about oxygen. A couple nights ago.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to reread it, I don't know if you heard it, respiratory distress.
I did. I'm going to save that topic. You can put up any poem you want if you want before we close out. Just drop any random poem or not. Either way, it's good with me. Or tell me what you want, and then I'll go find it for you. All right, Hatter, you're on.
I just posted, and it's a bad one. Can I pick another? I'll throw another dart. Please.
I have no idea what you just said because you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
He wants to change his mind.
Yeah, I can't read that one. Is that okay?
What? Do you want me to read it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I want to pick another one.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Just drop it. Whatever one you want, just drop it.
Okay.
Well, drop it. We're just waiting for you and Rack, and then we're going to...
Okay. Right here. It's called... Okay, copied and heading to the... Running down the hallway now. It is called...
Guys, are unprepared.
Yes.
We were more interested in hanging out with you than doing homework.
Oh,
yeah.
that's the better way. I like it.
Okay.
All right, Hatter. Is it coming up?
I'm trying to get to the damn room. Hold on. I got it here.
While we're waiting for
Mr. Hatter, I just want to let everybody know that I usually have next month's prompt topic board already up so that I can talk about it, the show that I do, but I don't have that today. So you guys are going to have to, I do have the what we're going to be doing, but I don't have it together. So you guys will have to stand by and bite your nails for next time.
Dun, 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 dun.
I sent you a link.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, the first time I posted this, I had no idea. Ta-da. Subtracting all the tangents goes like this. The answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything is 42. Oh, this is the one that just came. It's 42. So deep thought with infinite majesty and calm. While searching for the answer, a question arose. To know the answer is fatal. It's never what you know. Simple things turn complex in a chaotic sort of way, turning back for a clue that leads you astray. When adding all the numbers, and you know this to be true, take 40 and count. It's always 42. Don't count those things around you that add the one and then add the ones that do tangent subtracted by the few. And the second coming should be 42. Any questions?
That was cool, Hatter.
Oh my! I have to tell you, Hatter, I hate math, but I love your poem.
Thank you.
So, what? Why did you pick 42? Was that
a question?
I just threw a dart.
Into what?
Oh no! It's to the doctor. To the
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Universe. Hitchhiker's Guide
to
the Universe.
Oh, okay. All right, so
that's
it was like a little. It was a bit of a fandom piece. Then what was it?
Well, 42 is like the answer to everything is 42 in this show.
Okay.
A quick yes.
All right. Well, I am going to save my comment for a moment, and I'm going to ask Deb to go first.
You don't have
well,
to
I was actually just writing him a little note. It says, "Well, of course the answer is 42. The answer to everything is 42." And I may just start making that my answer when people ask me how old I am. I'm 42, and I'll say that for the rest of my life. I'll be 80 years old, frickety, and I'll say 42. So I was just trying to get permission to use that as my age. But no, I thought it was cool, and I don't know how I missed it because I was at their show, but I think you did awesome, Heather.
Awesome. And Rex?
Yeah, I picked up 42 immediately when you said it, so I appreciate it for what it was worth. And, you know, I like the mathematical references. You know, sometimes when someone says something that seemingly sounds arbitrary, like, well, the answer is 42, when you can back it up with simple things and little trivia quizzes and whatnot that, you know, are somewhat related, I love things like that because, you know, it kind of proves your point. You know, it's one of those things that, like, you know, no, seriously, 42. I can prove it. I can prove it. So, I love that kind of talk. I really do. So this is a great way of expressing something like that.
Cool. Thanks.
Excellent comment, Rex. And Hatter, I wasn't saving my comment for any particular reason because I didn't want to comment. It was I wanted to upload Rex's SoundCloud, so I am ready to make my comment. And, you know, I love fandom pieces. You know, I've never seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy show, but I've seen something that was What was that movie with Alan Rickman? You know it, Rex.
Yeah, Galaxy
Those aren't related, are they? Yeah, they're not related in any way. So I I've never seen this, so I can't get the reference. And I'm a pretty big geek, and I know this comes a lot up, because it comes up a lot in geekdom. So maybe one day I will get around to giving it a go. But I think it's pretty clever. And again, you know, I think when fans read it and these little meanings, and I know because let me tell you, I write a lot of fandom pieces. And sometimes I have to write it down and I have to explain it. And then people, they don't quite get the little jokes. Only other people do. But I love them. I love doing fandom pieces, but unfortunately, not everybody will get it right away. This, to me, speaks of that little insider joke, a little insider group of people that love it can really say, oh, you know, like, he's talking about this, he's talking about that. And then someone like me, who doesn't know the fandom, can simply enjoy the piece and the cleverness of it in itself. And when you can have that kind of duality, that's always pretty awesome. So now I know, if anybody asks me any questions, I'll just say 42. And then I'll seem like I know what I'm talking about with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
How many cards are there in a deck of playing cards?
42.
28. I'm just kidding. All right. And do you guys ever play that? Do you ever play that game? Actually, Deb just said it. Were you just saying what I was about to say, Deb?
No, she came up with the best.
Yeah,
the
but I was using my hip talk. 52 card pickup.
I thought you were going to say 42 plus 10.
Yeah, no, 52,
yeah,
52 like
52.
Yeah, that's another thing that my father taught us all once. He said, you want to play 52 pickup? And we're like, yeah. And we all only ever said yes once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played that game a time or two. So I have some bad news for you, Rex. The studio is taking 8 years to upload this.
Sometimes if you just refresh the studio, it takes it right in. Sometimes it don't.
I did. I refreshed it. Do you want me to, can I read this, Rex, or is that, or are you like me, you don't like anybody to read your work? Is that okay?
You can read it. Sure.
I get real crazy when people try to read my poems. Too much ask anybody. All right. So here we go. This is thank you. And hopefully there's no like crazy kind of words in here, right? Because I didn't pre-read it, and I always pre-read. So, all right, here we go. I'm excited. It's from the Hurt Locker. Ugh, you're getting me here. Okay, Relentless Tempest by Raconteur. Happiness is like lightning, literally disappearing in a flash. Blink and you'll miss it, before you can even hear the sound of the thunder crash. Some call it a fall from heaven, others a descent into madness. Equally devastating, no matter how you describe it. It's still an unfinished portrait on a tear-stained canvas. Not a shaft of sunlight able to escape the gathering ink, black clouds, the weeping skies unable to heal the scorched earth, swept away in a deluge of emotions. The tempest of tears subsides, carrying with it everything I'm worth. Resounding, pounding becomes relentless rhythm. Ostensibly, I'm... Rack, help me out.
The whole reason I do the recording is because I can't really read it. I have to...
Ostensibly.
I know it's ostensibly, but I...
All right, we're going to keep going. There's solace in sleep, but demons dwell in darkness. Cavorting in camouflage, it's there they creep. Drowning during daylight, nightmares when I nap, languishing in limbo, sentencing my soul to scrap. Maybe there's happiness hidden in loneliness, and beauty buried beneath tears that fall like rain. The trick is making sense of it all. Before you go insane. And poem. And I apologize, I messed up a few. My thing is still loading, so. So, you taught me a new word here. Huh? I know.
That's right, I was answering you.
Ostensibly.
I forgot I had muted the phone.
That's right.
Ostensibly.
Yeah, ostensibly. Apparently, perhaps, or not actually. Raconteur, I love when you teach me new words. I'm like, what is that word? I don't know. Absolutely brilliant. Of course, your Hurt Locker poems are always brilliant. They're always full with emotion. The metaphor in here, the internal metaphor with the thunderstorm, and, you know, happiness is like lightning. Disappearing in a flash, and sometimes it could feel that way because, you know, and it's kind of funny when people, if someone says, telling them stories, it's always those darker moments we seem to live in for longer, or feels like we live in for longer, and it's always those happiness, those flashing moments, and I think it's because when we're in those moments, we're not obsessing about them, so they seem to be very fleeting, and it's very true, and I like that metaphor that you used from it, and then my favorite part of this whole piece, besides the metaphor and kind of bringing in those emotion, was the ending, was maybe there's happiness hidden in loneliness. the beauty buried beneath tears that fall like rain. There's such a simplicity in that statement, yet it really, I mean, after all that you had said before, those two lines really kind of catch the reader, for me anyway. And then, of course, I love the cavorting camouflage, and it's there they creep. This is a brilliant piece. As always, your Hurt Locker poems are incredible and tear my soul apart like Hellraiser. So thank you for this.
All right.
Kev, what do you think?
I got it.
Well, hey, part of what you just said, I second all the way. You just hear the words Hurt Locker, and you know that you're about to hear something very emotional, very grab you by the gut and hold on tight. Geez, drowning during daylight, nightmares when I nap, languishing in limbo, sentencing my soul to scrap. Like, oh my God. Can you any more heartbroken, sad, lonely than to languish in limbo, sentencing your soul to scrap? Scrap. There's just something about that. Not a shaft of sunlight able to escape the gathering ink-black clouds, the weeping skies unable to heal the scorched earth. Just desolate sadness all the way through. Cavorting and camouflage, it's there. They creep. Really, really. And to that photo, the strike of lightning, how fast something changes, that heartbreak just rips you apart like that lightning bolt. Really powerful stuff, Rex.
Thanks, Deb.
Excellent comment. And Hatter?
I finished mine, so I wasn't able to follow. Sorry.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right. Did you say you finished yours for like today? Because I was going to close out.
Yes.
Do you have one that you wrote from one of the
yes.
prompts? All right.
No,
all right.
For today.
Put it right up, and we'll close out with that.
Oh shit.
Oh, you could put it up.
No, it was farting, not shit.
Oh, sorry. Right. I'm trying to get to.
I'm pretty sure there's not many 13-year-olds who haven't heard that word.
Yeah.
Defecation.
Okay, I'm here. Nobody say anything. Nobody say a thing.
It's on a board, I think, because it's on there. All you got to do is read it, Hatter.
No.
Is it? Okay.
Just read it.
Oh, yes. It's called Grandpa's Christmas Gift. No, I didn't take it. I didn't save it. Okay, it goes like this. I waited around to hear the sounds that brings Christmas to our lives, gathered to celebrate the memories we make and Grandma with her whispered sighs. A Christmas thing that lingers, come here and pull my finger. For those that knew, a silent P.U. and a smile that haunts the night. What the hell was that smell so thick you could cut it with a knife? Little things that Christmas brings, but one that seems so wrong. It happened each year, bringing on the tears. We now sing a grandpa's song. Running for cover, not a fart lover. I cringed when it got loose. You'd think he'd take the gift he'd make, but he blamed it on the goose. Aflac came next, but what was the best? The goose turned to clear the air. Pointed his wing, he started to sing, check the old man's underwear.
I should have muted myself. I'm sorry. All right. So, guys, today the winner is...
Boom.
It's this one. And it's
was it me that time?
I love it. I love it. It was me. It was me. I like
cool.
pressing buttons, but I don't know all the buttons in this studio, so now I got to start to learn them. this is quite brilliant. And a funny story. I like how you bring the Christmas spirit in And because I mean, it's Christmas time, so and then I like this part right here. There was three parts. I'll try not to take everything, but the cutting with the knife had me going. But this is quite brilliant. We now sing a grandpa song. I really, really love that. That was really creative. And then just when you said Aflac, I almost died. I thought that was really clever. And then, of course, the bold at the end. This is like an unhinged poem. It just kind of goes in and funny and all those family gatherings, you know this stuff happens. So I think Stephen calls them turkey farts. So really, really well done. Some people have turkey on Christmas. Some people have ham, but either way, this is quite brilliant, and thank you for writing it. Deb, what do you think?
Oh, I thought it was really fun. Like, I hope Stephen gets to read it. Running for cover, not a fart lover, cringed when got loose. You'd think he'd take the gift he'd make, but he blamed it on the goose. I'm like, okay. And the pull my finger, of course, cracked me up. I mean, it was a fun way to end it. And if you could have found a way to maybe add that chevron duck in there, I don't know if Sky would have been able to control her laughter. But I thought, Aflac, I was like, oh my gosh, you're crazy, Hatter, but it's really cool. And I wrote in my comment, run share, but Hatter, toss the underwear. I ain't washing them.
I really enjoy those Aflac commercials. I don't watch many commercials because I don't have cable, but there's those ads on YouTube, and I watch some YouTube, but yeah, Aflac. there was that guy. He did one too. That actor.
What?
I'll think of his name
Larry,
at some
the
point.
Guy or Rodney Dangerfield? Which one? They both made the fart reference to Rodney Dangerfield. You said, "Would somebody step on a duck?"
No, he talks really slow. He's a little. He has like no expression at all.
Stephen Knight.
I'm gonna think about it.
Stephen Knight. Yeah.
Right.
Rack, you make a comment, and then I will see if it's this guy.
You know how to. I would expect nothing less from an old fart. It was amazing. I thought it was a great poem. Probably a little autobiographical, but you can save that fact of fiction for yourself and leave that as a Christmas mystery. It's entirely too relatable, and I'm going to go turn the fan on and see if I can blow some of the air out of here.
Yeah, please.
You know, it's funny. You know, Rodney Dangerfield used to run around going, "What, did somebody step on a duck?" But it was when Larry the Cable Guy compared it. I think it was his mother-in-law or his sister. Someone said when she was in the bait store that she got arrested for stealing stink bait or something, and she got the walking farts. And then he went into this whole routine about the
walking farts.
It sounded like
mold.
A duck. Oh man, I never really thought of it. You know, it sounded like a duck's quack.
Okay.
I used it in a poem that won gold. Though I used that line in a poem that won gold. It was funny. The guy was missing his he used to go to a pond when he visited his mother, and the duck that used to show up there disappeared, and he wanted some people to write a poem about what happened to the duck, you know, and it was supposed to be funny. So that was like the last line, you know. It reminded me, even when somebody farts, you know.
All right. I can't find it. One day we will figure out which actor I'm talking about. Maybe next time I'll give you an answer. I want to thank Stephen and Rack and Hatter and Deb and AP for all calling, all taking part, and all doing a little Sky Home Study Program, as So Sweet calls it. And
I heard that.
Oh my gosh. You guys are getting a little too wild. All right, so I'm going to close out, and we're going to listen to some Joni Mitchell, and I talked about it at the beginning of the show, so we're all set. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Love and respect.
Ah, you didn't like the dead air.
And I didn't, but there's something not right in here. There's something wrong with my studio.
What's wrong?
Not going my way today. I'm trying to find, there it is. I don't know why it wasn't showing up.
You have to sing it.
No. I got it. For some reason, it didn't... I put it up. It was in there in the beginning, but for some reason I had to refresh again. Something happened. I'm not sure. But I got it, though. Are you guys ready to listen to Joni Mitchell? I am.
Yes, ma'am. Great show, guys.
Here we go.
Respect.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come all you young fellas, so young and so fine, and seek not your fortune in the dark dreary mine. It will form as a habit and seep in your soul till the stream of your blood is as black as a coal. Where it's dark as a dungeon and damp as a dew, where the dangers are double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines. Lord, it's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. Well, it's many a man that I've seen in my day who lives just to labor his whole life away. Like a fiend or a thistle or a drunkard, is wine a man must have for the lure of a mind. Where it's dark as a dungeon and dark as a dew, where the dangers are double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines. Lord, it's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. Well, I hope when I'm gone all the ages shall roll, my body will blacken and turn into coal. Then I'll look from the door of my heavenly home and pity the miner, the digger, my bones. Where it's dark as a dungeon and damp as the dew, where the dangers are double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines.
Good night.
Night sky.